What's happening, everyone? Sam Brief with you, and with a fresh Shy State pod, and an episode that I think will move you a lot. Actually, I know it'll move you a lot, because it's the story of Sage Thor, Chicago State junior on the women's soccer team, who already has an incredible story. Sage wrote about it in our Hear It From Me segment on GoCSUCougars.com about her torn ACL, which was right around when the COVID pandemic started, and she tore her ACL. She came to Chicago State, and COVID interrupted her rehab. It was a long process, 14 months, where she had to deal with shoddy athletic training at the very beginning, and the pandemic made it so that she had to do rehab on her own in her backyard. It was a taxing journey for her, and she made it back in the fall with flying colors. And she wrote and tells us on the podcast about the moment where she got a return to the pitch and how much it meant to her. But then Sage tore her ACL again. And it happened just a couple weeks ago in Chicago State women's soccer, playing an exhibition game at Purdue Northwest. First time it was the left, this time it was the right. And it was devastating for Sage. And on this podcast, you'll hear from her about not only the moment it happened, but the moment she found out it was indeed a deja vu, another torn ACL. But Sage is a ray of sunshine. She's one of the best attitudes you'll ever meet. And you will love her on today's episode of the Shy State Pod. Before we get started, a reminder that our partners at BSN Sports are the largest providers of team sports equipment and apparel in the country, and they'd like to thank all the coaches out there who truly are the heart of the game. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives, and that's the real final score. Learn more about how BSN Sports can save you time off the field by giving you more time to impact lives on it. Call your local BSN Sports sales pro or visit bsnsports.com today. And now here's Sage. You had an injury over the weekend. Do you want to tell me about it?
Yeah, so on Saturday, we were playing Purdue Northwest. And in the second half, I planted my foot wrong into the turf, and I tore my ACL for the second time. It was terrible news that I found out on Tuesday when I got my MRI. But I'm thinking positive about it, and not feeling too bad today.
You're one of those people who I walk around this place and I see you and it's like you're a ray of sunshine. I'll never forget photo day with the team. You're like hyping everyone up. You're smiling right now. Like you are that energy, that positive energy for your team. So it really breaks my heart that you tore your ACL again. What was your reaction when you learned that it was a tear?
Well, I found out when I was sitting on my couch. I was next to my teammates, Sharna and Diana, when I got the call from Alex. And my reaction right away was I kind of just froze. I was completely shocked, to be honest with you. So I went upstairs without saying anything to either of my roommates. And I just sat on my bed and I started to cry. So I didn't really know what to do except call my mentors, and one of them was my English teacher in high school, and the first thing that he said to me was, oh crap, and that's what I thought too, like, oh crap, I never thought that this was going to happen to me again. But we chatted for a little bit, but he didn't really have anything to say to me because I think that he was just as shocked as I was. But then I got on the phone with one of my best friend's mom, Michelle, and she was devastated and she was upset, but she gave me some wise words that made me feel a lot better and calmed me down. And she just told me that if anyone could do it, it was me. And I have it in me, so I just need to keep going. That made me feel significantly better. So by the time Sharnay came and talked to me and told me to just keep being positive and that something amazing was going to come out of this, I was ready to accept that. And ever since then, I felt like I've been going up.
You accepted that message, that something great would come from this.
Yeah.
If it's okay with you, I want to read the text you sent me yesterday.
Yeah, Go for it.
I texted Sage, everyone. I said, hey, you want to come on the podcast? She said, great, I'll be there. We'll do it. 11 o'clock. She was a little late, but that's fine. Anyway, so she texted me, all right, see you there. Also, I tore my ACL. I responded and asked her about it, and she answered a couple questions, and then she said, thanks, Sam. This is going to be the best comeback story yet. Your plan, rehab, and then come back next year.
Yeah, that's the plan. When I got hurt, I was thinking, I was like, is this it? Like, am I done? Is my body telling me that I'm done? And then I thought to myself, like, no, no way. I've worked way too hard to just give up now. It's been a crazy comeback from my first ACL tear when I got to Chicago State. And right before I tore it, I felt like I had been playing the best I played since I got here. And instead of feeling like I'm falling backwards now because of my injury, I just feel like I'm put on pause. And then when I get back, I'll pick up exactly where I left off and keep going back up.
And the thing I know about you is you're not really on pause, because so much of you is what's above the knee, right? I mean, you bring so much to your team, and I hope you're able to be with the team and travel and do all those things, because mm-hmm. you provide so much. And I know you're the type of person that, whether your knee is torn in 1,000 places or you're running miles, you're you, right?
Yeah. So when I told Mario, who's my coach to all of those who don't know, when I told Mario what happened, he asked me, how can I support you? And to me, that question was kind of a shock, because that's not what I thought he was going to say. I thought he was going to try to like give me some like hyping up, tell me that everything was going to be okay. But that's not how he reacted at all. And when I thought about what he told me, I just told him that I really just want to feel included, and I want to feel like I'm still important. And he and I are going to work together to maybe get me in a manager position role for the fall, so that I can still be with my teammates and still travel, still be important until I get back next spring.
That really says a lot about him.
It does, yeah.
Mario Felix, first year Chicago State head coach. He's the new man in town.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know. And it sounds like he's embracing exactly what you need. So, Sage, I'm curious. I'm learning a little bit about your mindset and how you're looking to tackle it. Your story is a long, winding tale with the ACL, with the other ACL, because right now it's the left.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was the right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a heck of a story. You wrote a piece on GoCSUCougars.com, part of our Hear It From Me series, a long sort of narrative about your ACL tear. So for those who haven't read it, and I'll link it in the description of this episode, can you give me a recap of how you got here?
So when I graduated from high school, I was signed to a D3 school on the north side of Chicago. I played my first game, played all 90 minutes, and then I went home because my grandmother passed away, and she had her funeral. And then after her funeral, I ended up coming back to Chicago ASAP because I had a game the next day. And I was warming up, and my right foot got stuck in the turf when I was trying to shoot the ball, and I heard my knee pop. I couldn't move it. I was laying there on the turf, like, shocked. But I instantly knew that I tore my ACL. Like, there was no doubt in my mind. So then I was out. I felt devastated. I felt like my world ended. But there was a girl who I knew through other people, but she went to Chicago State, and I knew that she was in Chicago. So I reached out to Maddie, that's her name, and we went and got coffee. And we caught up, and we really got to know each other, and we instantly just, like, clicked. We had always been, like, had mutual friends in high school, but we never actually got to, like, talk. But up until she transferred, I think we hung out, like, 4 or 5 times a week, even though she would have to drive all the way from Chicago State, which is on, like, the very, very tip, like, bottom tip of Chicago, all the way to North Park, which is, like, the very tippy top of Chicago. And she would never complain about coming to get me, nothing like that, because I didn't have my car. But then before she transferred, she told Coach C about me. And Coach C instantly said, we need someone like that here. So I didn't have any film to send to him. I didn't have anything, like, just the stats for my first game. And then this, like, map stating, like, how many miles I ran, stuff like that. And I got to know him from talking to him for, like, 2 hours on the phone one night. And he signed me here to my first ever experience with talking to a D1 school. Like, I was signed instantly. So, yeah, it's just, it was history after that. Like, I just geared up, got ready to come to Chicago State. But then I got sent home for COVID. And my athletic trainer at my old school was doing my rehab. So she...
You're how many months in at this point?
Like 7 or 8. Okay. Like, I should be done
towards
at
the
this
end.
Point.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So,
and
athletic trainer.
Yeah, my athletic trainer, like, was sending me YouTube videos to rehab my knee, and I would sit outside on my back porch and I would watch in the glass windows trying to do single leg squats on my right knee. And it was horrible. Like, sometimes I would mess my knee up so bad I couldn't do anything for a week, or I couldn't walk.
You know, people like me who at the time were totally healthy, not rehabbing. Like, I could handle doing a YouTube workout video because I'm not rehabbing a serious injury. But rehabbing, there's a reason you're supposed to do it in an office under the guidance of an athletic trainer.
Yeah.
And you're just in your backyard screwing up the knee more.
Yeah. So, luckily, I got some insurance back. And I started going to a physical therapist back in Ohio. And this man was like my saving grace. He got my knee into such good shape by the end of the summer that I was being prepared to be cleared 1 month after. I was like being set up to be able to play in the fall, which is what I wanted to do, you know? Mm-hmm. But then the WAC ceased competition for the fall because of COVID. And Chicago State was pretty much shut down because of that and COVID and people catching COVID, whatever. So I ended up not being cleared until late November. I got to play in one practice, and then we got sent back home for COVID. But I was cleared, so I was good for the spring season. And that was pretty much it. It was a really, really long road. It was like 14 or 15 months. I think it was 14. But it's like double what you're supposed to do. Because, like, you can kind of get out of tearing your ACL after 7 months if you go fast. Mostly for if you're, like, a guy. Because girls take a little bit longer. But I could have, in theory, rehabbed it twice with how much I took just to rehab it once.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to read your words back to you that you wrote on the website. Hear it from me. You said, this was one of the biggest mental tests of my life, but I'm so grateful for it because if it had never happened, I would never have grown and made it to where I'm going to be.
Yeah. I still feel that way, but most of the time when I'm thinking about it now, it doesn't really feel like a big mental test anymore. It kind of feels like, all right, I've done it before. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to kill it. Yeah. It's kind of like when you run a mile or like have to like do a really hard workout. You get halfway. You're like, all right, I did half of it. I can do the other half of it. You know? Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
That half, even that theory with like a third or a fourth, it's like, all right, did a quarter of it. Let's ride.
Exactly.
Sage, the moment that you first stepped onto a pitch again in August this past season, take me through it.
I remember, I think it was like NIU or something, but I was so scared. I was so scared because in the spring I hadn't really played that much, but in the fall when I came back, I felt like not scared with my body, but scared with my ability. But as the season went on, I felt more and more capable of doing it. And by the time we played Abilene, I remember stepping on the pitch and completing my first pass to Gigi. And it was like, it was killer. Like, I remember she turned and we counterattacked them. And I just remember thinking, like, this is going to be it. This is going to be the game we're going to win. And then Alexa saved a PK. Jayla kicked her foot up so high to the crossbar. She saved it. Like, and then we ended up winning and changing history. So I think that, like I said, like it all just happens for a reason. And it's amazing. Like, simple as that.
That was a heck of a moment for the first WAC win in the program's history, or new program, building itself up. I'm so glad you got to be on the field for that. What did it feel like when the final buzzer rang?
It felt like we won the World Cup and we were the U.S. women's national team.
That lost 6-1
yeah.
2 weeks before against mm-hmm. the same team.
Yeah, yeah. That was like grueling. So I hadn't gone in the first half, but the second half, I played the entire half or like 5 minutes. I don't even remember. But we were down someone in the midfield because someone got a red card. And it felt like I was chasing my own tail because of how they were just, like, destroying us. It was like playing cat and mouse with them. And then to have 2 weeks go by or 1 week or whatever it was, and we come back and make them look like that, that was incredible. It felt like, this sounds bad to say, but it felt so good to, like, see them in our shoes. But to not even the same extent, like, that had been our shoes for years, and now someone else just gets, like, a tiny little taste of what it's like to actually, like, lose like we do, you know? Like we did, because I don't think that's, like, the case anymore, you know?
You've earned the respect.
We have. We've earned the respect.
And then you won later in the season against UTRGV.
Yeah, that's crazy you bring that up, especially with us talking about respect, because before Coach C left, he was telling me a story about how no one would warm up before we started warming up.
Right.
Yeah. And when we walked out of the locker room at UTRGV, they were already done with their dynamic and they were already moving the ball around, getting going. And I didn't realize it yet, but until I talked to him after the game, he was like, Sage, that's the first time I've ever seen another team do that. Start warming up that intensely before we walked on the field, because they were scared. And rightfully so, because we made them pay for it.
And
but
teams used to just kind of show and go.
Yeah,
they'd
we
think,
used
oh,
to.
All right, we might as well be quick, not waste
mm-hmm.
our time. We're
yeah.
playing CSU.
Yeah. They would warm up for like 20 minutes, hop on the field. And now it's like, we don't get treated like that anymore because we've earned it, you know?
And you've helped build that in a big way. You'll continue to help build that. ACL or not. I know that.
Thanks, Sam.
We've talked a lot about your knee, but like I said, a lot of who you are is above the knee. And one of my favorite things about you is what you're studying, what your career goals are.
Yeah.
Tell me where you're at with that.
So I'm a chemistry major here at Chicago State, minoring in communications. And my goal after college is to potentially be a meteorologist someday. So right now I'm in my third year of education, but I'm not planning to graduate due to transfer credits and stuff until 3 semesters from now, which is 2 falls from now. Next semester, I'm gearing up for my hardest semester yet. I'm taking PChem, OChem 2, Analytical Lab 2, something like that. I forget. That's only 3. I have an honors Whoa. College class to take.
OChem is organic.
Yeah.
What's PChem?
I don't know. I just was told by my advisor I have
Good
to take
luck.
It. Thank you.
I know some organic chemistry from high school.
Yeah.
You will know a lot more than me at the end and probably know more now.
Oh, man.
So you're taking hard classes.
Yeah.
But it'll pay off.
It will.
You want to be a meteorologist.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? That's such a cool job. That's one of those that makes people beam just to think about.
Well, that came from when Hurricane Katrina hit when I was like 5 years old. And I remember my mom telling me stories about how I was like glued to the TV because I thought it was so fascinating. Like I was completely infatuated by it. And the more I grew up and the older I get, I still realize like I think that this is the coolest thing on earth for some reason. And yeah, like I just can't wait to study it and continue to learn about it when I get a career in it someday.
What about it fascinates you so much? Because it's one of those jobs that's really complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the studying part of it and really knowing what you're talking about, knowing the trends and the pressures and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the presentation, right? Going on and explaining to people. So
yeah.
What fascinates you the most?
What fascinates me the most is how unpredictable it is.
Mm.
I think it's really neat how a weather pattern can go from looking like the most, I don't even, like, scariest thing that's going to happen. Like, they're predicting tornadoes or predicting all these thunderstorms, and it just will not even happen. And then on the other hand, if the humidity is high or if, like, there's something going on in the atmosphere, storms can pop up and be, like, extremely devastating. And even on the winter side of that, I find it so interesting how, like, the lake has so much to do, or even the ocean has so much to do with what kind of precipitation is going to fall, and how it can be so, like, it's so hard to determine how much is going to fall. And even with climate change and things that are going on, I'd really like to see comparisons from how there haven't been that many record-breaking temperatures, weather patterns, hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever, in the past compared to now because of greenhouse gas emissions that have been going on in the atmosphere. So I really think environmental science does have something to do with it, with my interest, but I think the weather is what actually does interest me about it.
You bring up climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see somewhere where you can make a difference in climate change from the meteorologist point of view?
I honestly, yeah, I think if enough people were educated about it, then maybe, yeah, but it's so hard because climate change comes from so many different things, and I just don't think anyone's been, like, actually woke up yet about how bad it actually could potentially be coming up in the next couple years.
And you know? Your role can be to educate.
Yeah, for sure. Like, just to go on and be like, hey, look, guys, if we don't, like, fix this, then our temperatures are going to rise potentially, like, 3 or 4 degrees from the next, like, couple years. Our ice caps are going to melt, and then things could get really bad, you know? Stuff like that.
There's a real opportunity there for you to make a difference.
Yeah.
It's not just reporting weather, right? Being a meteorologist, it's so much more than just saying, oh, the high is 75 tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's where chemistry kind of comes into it too, because you need to be able to know how to, like, do the equations, like, walk through. Because with chemistry, you kind of think, like, oh, beakers, lab, whatever. But a lot of the times that, like, there's this equation to calculate wind chill. It's like, I can't even explain it to you. It's literally like 10 numbers on top, or 10 characters, and then like 10 characters on the bottom, and you need to know like what each means to plug it all in just to get like what the feels like temperature is outside. And that's so interesting to me because that's kind of exactly what we do in chemistry or in physics, you know?
Wow. I never thought about that when I go in the iPhone weather app and see the feels like. And it's like -5.
Yeah.
So there's 10 characters in the numerator and 10 in the denominator.
Something like that. Yeah. It's wow. It's a crazy equation. Yeah.
I'm very curious. I want to hear something about weather or meteorology or chemistry. Something I don't know. Teach me something.
Teach you something?
Yeah. That's the best way to study. It's finals week. Teach me
true,
something.
True. Okay. Do you know what a cyclohexane is?
No way.
Okay. So a cyclohexane is just 6 carbons all linked together in the shape of a hexagon.
And what does that do? Like, is that a thing? What does it look like?
It looks like a hexagon. That's pretty much it.
And is it a component of
it's like
nothing?
It's not a component of nothing. No, it is pretty much, it's like what binds other atoms to it. So like you could add oxygen to that, or you could add like carbon dioxide type thing. It's kind of like the basis of where anything comes from. Like you're made up of a bunch of cyclohexanes from what
Whoa.
I understand. Someone don't quote me on that, but from what I'm understanding in
I
organic chemistry
you.
That's what's going on.
So I'm going to call my mom later and say, hey, guess what? I'm just a bunch of cyclohexane.
I hope. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
90%. I mean, it is crazy to think about that all of us are just a bunch of atoms.
Yeah, exactly.
Atoms and cells and protons and electrons and all that stuff.
Yeah.
What weather app do you use?
Okay, I use AccuWeather or just the iPhone one most of the time, yeah. AccuWeather more for like the radar if we have some crazy storms come in or something, but with the weather app it's so convenient, you know, like you just look at it, it's like, oh, 70 degrees today. Well, not here, it's like always 45 and raining for some reason, but
welcome
to Chicago. But yeah, I like how it has all the like little stuff at the bottom too. Like when it says how much humidity is in the air, what the feels like temperature is, the air pressure, the air quality, you know, stuff like that.
You must nerd out about that. Most people sometimes are like, oh, okay, it's 45 and rainy. You're like, oh, but the barometric pressure is 60%, so yeah, it's a great day. I don't even know what that means, to be honest. You want to be on the news? You want to be, you know, the presentation part of it is yeah, the other half.
Yeah, I would really like to do that. I honestly have been thinking like a lot about life lately, though, and I think that I would want to do this more like after my 20s, because during my 20s, I think that I'd like to explore and travel and play soccer for as long as I can, like maybe even go pro if I can put myself in a position to be that successful of a player. Yeah, like I don't know. I don't really think that there's any rush to grow up and start a career right away. I just really think that I want to do what makes me fulfilled when I have the chance to, you know?
No rush to grow up and start a career right away.
No.
That's super mature way to think about life.
Yeah.
Sage, you're a dynamo. You texted me yesterday. You said this is going to be the best comeback story yet.
Mm-hmm.
You've already gone through a heck of a comeback story under excruciating pandemic circumstances, and you came back. You're going to do it again. Sage, I'm so excited to watch it.
Thanks, Sam. Me too. I'm excited to go through it. I think that the journey is going to make me so much smarter. And that's like what I was thinking about too when I tore my left knee. I was thinking to myself, like, I was so down about my right knee. I felt like my world ended, and I got one of the greatest gifts that has ever been given to me, which is like coming to Chicago State. And with this one, I don't even feel that bad. Like, I feel hopeful. I'm feeling optimistic, and I can't even imagine the gift that is going to be given to me for going through this.
I'm so excited to see it.
Yeah,
really.
Me too.
It's going to be special, and you're going to write about it. We're going to do another podcast. And you're going to keep doing amazing things.
Yeah.
So, Sage Thor, thank you so much for coming on. Always in your corner.
Thanks, Sam. Always in your corner, too.
What a powerful, moving conversation with a dynamo, Sage Thor. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope it moved you. And we'll follow Sage's journey. I've no doubt she'll be right, and that it'll be a great comeback story to hear from around this time next year. So, that was a great episode of the Shy State Pod. As always, subscribe, rate, review the podcast on Spotify and on Apple. I'm your host, Sam Brief. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and an adios from Chicago.